special guest that I didn't expect to come. So I'm very happy that he came. I asked Rabbi Chalap to say a few words, and then I'm going to finish up.
Thank you very much. First of all, I want to compliment Rav Yonak for having this meeting year after year on the art site of the Rav. He was certainly one of the outstanding Talmidim of the Rav, and he's brought with him, of course, great symbols of what the Rav has done. Rav Schechter, and Rav Reichman. The Rav, I don't know if he, from the very beginning, sensed what he is accomplishing. But when I first came to the yeshiva and I became very close to him, I used to speak him often, he said the caliber, the kind of Talmud he has today, and there was some brilliant Talmud we had all through the years, but who have reached such heights in learning. And he never expected, never imagined it, when he first came to the yeshiva, that they would go to such great heights in learning. I want to tell you a personal story that ended this week, or maybe just first began this week. I received smicha in 1954. So although I'm only 45 years old now, which is one of the miracles of nature. And I remember the Bechina was given on Sunday morning. That Shabbos was Erev Pesach, Shechal Lios Shabbos. If you have any question about it, you can look at your old calendars and see what I say. So. And the old Smicha Bechina, with the Smicha Vad, comprising the Rav and, of course, the patriarchal and royal Lamjerov, the Moshe Chaskis, you saw the way he walked, the height of him. It was awesome. And he was one of the closest, if not the closest, ally of the Chaim Lezer. You have pictures. He was in Lamjer, and then he came to Vilna in 1940, in the year he was in Vilna. If you have, you see a lot of pictures, you'll always see Reb Chaim Lezer standing together with Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter was this giant. And then, of course, you had the Rav. The Rav was the... Everybody could see him together at that time. And you had Dr. Belkin. Dr. Belkin was one of the greatest students of Latin. He received the Smicha at the age of 17, the youngest in history. And I went in with my chaver, not together. So first I was supposed to be in, and then my chaver, he was going to me, he was waiting outside, and I can't go in the whole Bechina if I could make a Broadway production of what that Bechina was. But I'll just give you an idea. So I walked into the Bechina then, and the Rav wasn't there yet. The Rav was on his way from Boston. It was a Sunday morning. He came in Sunday because that week was the week before Pesach. They were going to devote entirely to Smicha Bechinas. So he had two Bechinas a day, three Bechinas a day. It was a whole day, 8-9 hours. They were devoted, they gave us three speakers. So I walked in, and the brother's not there, so Dr. Belkin said, Rabbi Soloveitchik has not come yet, but he'll be here. And we begin without him now. And he says, he points to the Lamjo, he says, Chalap, oi bi vet ben arof, ken daini vet tigin smicha no de vechin ech neistish? Aber oi bi next to boch, the erste Shabbos was here, zait arof. And out the yidin of a kumen sechon zogen erev pesach shechaliot b'shabbos. We fear him. Erev pesach shechaliot b'shabbos. You'll understand why I'm talking about this now. So do I have to translate what I said now? I hope not. And then, so I remember the Rav a few days before. It was a Sunday. It was either Wednesday or Tuesday. A few days before, he had a seminar on erev pesach shechaliot. Say you're not here. Erev Pesach, Shechal Lios, B'Shabbos. And all I remember is we didn't hear the whole shiur because we were worrying about our own bechina, which is coming up on Sunday. So we heard the last with him for that last half hour, 20 minutes of the shiur. He was in Klein Hall in the Egyptian dormitories. And he said something, he says, when you come to Erev Pesach, when you come to Shabbos, and it comes to Zman, after you can't eat anymore, you have to get rid of the chametz, he says, you take the chametz, and you put the chametz in a bag, and then you take that bag, and put it into another bag, and then you put it in the garbage can. That's the way you get rid of chametz. That was the only thing that I knew about. It was the first time in my life that I was cognizant of a Erev Pesach, a Chalios, the Shabbos. And then after that, took 20 years again. 19, 20 years for the next one to happen. Now we've had several in pretty close proximity. So the Lom Shalom, the Lom Shalom, what's with the Zog now, the Yid in there? So I said, we left the Chometz, we left the Sarayin in our bag, we left the bag, we left the Sarayin in our Tzvekin bag, and we left this in the garbage can. Cook that for me. He looks at me like I'm strange, coming out of some far-off planet. And he tells me, he says, I'm he says, what's coming with Vaya Dinah? We came into a sign legging. He's looking at children in Beis Hakisei. And he brought me a shach, and I still don't know where the shach is. He says, shach in your day, it says, that you could be, you can't be Vaya, you can destroy Isurei Hanor by putting it into a Beis Hakisei. So Pavos, can't you do the same thing with the chometz on Pesach? Is it sure enough? But it's a kalva chometz. Yes, so at that time it was never a terrible thing. But then it not only stayed in the Beis Hakisei at that time, it was very butthole because the Beis Hakisei was an outhouse. It's not what we have today. But then it would be drawn away by the toilet. We didn't understand. He went on, he asked me other questions. I think I did better on it. And then I don't know. 45 minutes later or so, Rav Soloveitchik walked in, and you know, he was that time, you can't describe it, especially if you saw him only in the last years, in his mellower years, but he was a fire. He walked in, when he walked into the room, he was, I'm sorry, I'm going to sit down, he starts right away. So during about a few minutes after, he begins questioning me, and Rabbi Shatzkis was very kind, he said, Miriam Shen Gefrech, so we have to begin my Masech today. So then suddenly Rav Shasi says, he basically made me reflect, what took me an Erev Pesach, Chalios B'Shabbos, when a Zok says, he could Zok them a Dechaz HaRein Leidin. So, you have to realize, this was an exercise in terror, those of you who was sitting there. And the Lord said, what did you say, Chalak? What did you say, Chalak? So I said, I went to you, that's what you said, you gave a seminar this week, and he started to yell at me, and we went on program. He didn't defend himself, and the Lumsra Lord says to him, says, the Shach Zok Dot and Dot, and he says, I'll tell you, Yisra Anor, can you find that you're not basically saying, the Rav didn't really answer. So I thought that the Rav somehow must have forgotten that Shach of Yisrael Noah can be Mubuto. What am I going to say? And all my life, I told this story. Not to too many people, but I told the story. This is the first time I'm telling it publicly. So I told the story. And I really never understood it. A strange thing happened. This Thursday, Rabbi Gennat called me up Thursday. Maybe I would come over here. And he didn't know one, so maybe I did tell him, I don't know, that my son is in Cleveland. My son went to a Shabbos Hagadol last year. Last Shabbos before, really Shabbos Hagadol, we all made the Drushes on Shabbos the week before Shabbos Hagadol, the Shulchan Aruch says. And he went to a rabbi, I'm not going to mention his name. The rabbi has a shtibble in Cleveland, my son is in Cleveland, and he has a shtibble in Cleveland. And it's the largest shtibble in Cleveland. And he was originally a Telzer, but gradually he became a chassid, and his ideas and that stuff are in tune, in sync with the Sapna Rav. And I was there, and I could tell you the way he dresses exactly the same way. He was an American-born fellow. He went to Telzer Yeshiva at that time. He didn't graduate. He graduated there. gradually became this way. And he's a very fine Talmud Chacham. And he doesn't speak all the time. So I never heard him speak publicly yet. Because I had a few of Pisha Blessim I was there in all my life. But he didn't speak. He just doesn't speak. So, but he gives a Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. This Shabbos HaGadol, he gave a Drasha on Erev Shabbos Shechaliyo, Erev Pesach Shechaliyo from Shabbos. And he said that I happen to have been in 1972, I'm not sure what he said, he said 72, maybe 71, 72, I'm not sure. That I happened to have been in Boston, and for a long time, for almost 20 years, there was never an Erev Pesach Shechaliyos. All this you can verify, look at the old calendars. And he said, I was in Boston at that time. And I heard Rabbi Soloveitchik's Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. So there was a murmur throughout the congregation. You know, they disobeyed me the first time they ever mentioned Zorob. And he based the whole Drasha on Zorob. And apparently part of the Drasha is in Masoret. And I didn't know it was in, I knew it was up, but I didn't know where it was. And he told me it's in Masoret today. And I asked Rabbi, you're going to have to be kind enough to zero. It's less than a page, the whole thing. Anyway, I didn't know this. I happened to be in Muncie. So they asked me, I spoke in several places, they gave shiur. And one place they asked me to give a shiur on this Monday, or this past, let's say Tuesday, yesterday. And that's when you called me, I had some idea already of maybe where we could say. And I said, you know, I'm going to have to examine this subject. And he mentioned something that there was a question if you're allowed to have beer. That's what the law, the point of the law's halacha was whether you're allowed to have beer, any kind of beer, on Shabbos. And this is the form of destruction. So if you follow Rabbi Yehuda, you have to have beer beish. So you can't, you can say, you can't suddenly have that. So you can say, Zorav, or we can throw it into the water, whatever the kind of beer. Can you have such a thing as beer on, and that was really the void. And I began to, so it awakened me to something that I hadn't known for 50 years. Because I heard the question answered, and all he had to say to him, he chafed me, can have a beer on Shabbos? And he never said that. At that point. So I went to Per Gimel in the Rambam, and Halacha Gimel. I began to think about it, and I never noticed, I necessarily said that. I noticed where the Kofa, that you're supposed to, of course, be Baidik on Thursday night, the Yud Gimel, and then you're supposed to have the, then you, of course, you, your Mavair or your Chometz, this knows Shabbos, before Shabbos, everything Shabbos. And you leave aside a few, for two meals. And then in the daytime, he said, if you have anything left over, you have to bite his mind when you can't eat anymore, kofal of kli. And he said that, and I never identified the two things, kofal of kli. And I should have, but it didn't occur to me. And what is this kofal kli? What is it? So I'm not going to go through it, because I'm just one of the things which is in the Masorah, and which I had spoken about. I spoke to Rabbi Yenak about this, and I said that there was a question that made me, and I didn't really realize that it wasn't the story. And the idea is that the Rav held that there's a problem with being beer anything but Shabbos, beer chametz for Shabbos. And for several reasons. First of all, he based it on the Milchamas. And in the Milchamas, it says over there that the reason you're not allowed to be, the Rav says, and then after Mosei, Yom Tov Risha, meaning last night, that's when you can be, get rid of the, you can get rid of it, I don't think you use the term of virus, you get rid of the chametz. And he just takes it out. You only get it. So he says in the chametz, which is the reason that we're afraid that in the beer of chametz, he may do some kind of malacha, some kind of shia, some thing that he ought not to do. So therefore you're not allowed to have beer on Shabbos. There were two other answers that I came to very quickly, and that was, first of all, the Rambam paskins that bitul in our Torah is enough. You only need a bitul. The big machlokes, the Rambam paskins bitul in our Torah. So bitul in our Torah is enough. You don't really need to have beer altogether. So he says it's enough to put. I can't imagine my wife. That means there's only ruining Gan Eden, but any wife, but his wife here, but he found a piece of cake over here. And then you tell her, don't worry about it, just put a piece of, you're not going to move it now, just take a cup and put it over. Then after Pesach, either you or I'll take it outside. I just can't imagine it happening today. And the Tosfos Yom Tov says a different reason. Tosfos Yom Tov says, why, when did we have the Bechiras Chametz? When did we have, in Motum, but when do we have Bir Chametz Erev Shabbos? We have it at 11 o'clock, or 10:30, 10:30, whatever the time was. He says, why can't you have it at 6? In fact, many of the Golem wanted to have it later on, because there were stores that were open up, and he said, how can then there be a Kuchatlu, and the store is open? I'm talking about religious people, not talking about any religious people. The store is open all Friday. So why didn't you have it at 6 o'clock? So he said, no, you can't have it later, because people will forget next year, they'll think you can have also Bir Chametz later on. So you can't do it. So therefore, he says, let's say you do Mechiras Chametz came to. So we try to do Mechiras Chametz at the same time also. We synchronize it at the same time. You shouldn't do it later on, even though it may have been from the point of view of halacha better. So the same thing could be over here, that we don't want, we want everything to be done beforehand, because in the following year, we'll have the same problem. Thank you very much.